of his government and peace, there will be no end from the house of David, the throne of David, and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. His name is wonderful. The name Jesus. A study of the messianic titles applied to our wonderful Savior by the prophet Isaiah can help us worship this Christmas day with reverence and awe for the Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas should cause us to focus our attention on Christ and on God's great redemption of us through him. The names that were given to him can help us to understand God's gracious and loving purposes for our lives. There are some 256 different names in the Word of God ascribed to Jesus our Lord. It is as though one name could not express the infinite virtue and worth of his marvelous life. John declared that Jesus did so many things that if all was written, that not even the world could contain the books that would be written. So it's hard for one name to really describe adequately the Lord Jesus Christ. But one of those names is called Wonderful Counselor. I'll divide it up to two names. Wonderful, because his name is wonderful. He is a wonder of a counselor. But his name is called Wonderful, and wonderful it is. That is someone who is transcendently glorious above all that we could ever know or see. A wonder refers to something out of the ordinary, something unusual and uncommon, something that causes awe and astonishment, something that is miraculous and marvelous. If you had been present to see Israel walk through the parted waters of the Red Sea on dry ground, you would have said, "My, that's wonderful." Standing with Joshua, the captain of the host of the armies of Israel, when he commanded the sun and the moon to stand still over the valley of Ajalon, you would have said, "Man, that's wonderful." If you had stood on Mount Carmel with the great prophet Elijah, while in answer to his prayer, fire fell from heaven and consumed the wood, the sacrifice, and the altar, and licked up the water and the dust in the trench around the altar, you would have said, "Wow, that's wonderful." But oh, my friends, as we look at this name of Jesus, I pray that our eyes will be open to recognize all that God has done and proposes to do for you and me through our wonderful Savior. What do we see that is so wonderful in him? To those who of us who look with the eyes of faith to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, for sustenance, for hope, for security, and for an eternal promise, truly his name is wonderful. First of all, he is wonderful in his preexistence. All of us were created when we were conceived in our mother's womb and were born. God fashioned our physical frame in the womb of our mothers. Then he breathed into you and me the breath of life, and we became a living soul. We were created. We began our existence upon our birth. That's not so with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are reminded of what John said in his gospel in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. He is the preexistent Christ. He is the Word made flesh. In John 1:1-3, John establishes the preexistence of Christ in eternity past. He's already was when the beginning took place. In beginning, God was, because Jesus was, God was. They were there. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All were there. In Genesis 1:26, the Word of God records, "Let us make man in our image," signifying the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is and was the preexistent Christ. He is none other than God himself, not only beginning the Word, but incorporating it in his own person, his life, and his being. I would ask you to consider this. In John 12, the apostle identifies the Lord Jesus as the Jehovah of the Old Testament. In the New Testament, his name is Jesus. In the Old Testament, his name is Jehovah. He is the wonderful God of the Old Covenant and also the New Covenant. We call it the Old Testament and the New Testament. In John 8:58, the apostle quotes the Lord as saying, "Before Abraham was, I am." He is a marvelous man, but is also the glorious counselor. He is a great teacher, but is also the mighty God. He is a marvelous leader, but is also the everlasting Father. He is an incomparable example for you and me, but he is also Emmanuel, God with us. He is wonderful in his pre-existence. He is wonderful. His name is Jesus. Not only is he wonderful in his pre-existence, he was also wonderful in his birth. In Galatians 4:4, the Apostle Paul wrote that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. How full of meaning is that one sentence? All history moved for that great final moment of destiny when the world's Savior should come upon the earth. Regarding him, the Bible asserts the full deity and perfect humanity in one person. No wonder he is called wonderful. At his incarnation, he did not become man, he became the God-man. The Bible tells us in John 1:14 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. His name is Jesus. He had a wonderful way of describing his birth in the Word of God. W.A. Criswell had a wonderful way of describing what happened at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. W.A. Criswell was a great pastor of First Baptist Church Dallas for about 50 years. He'd been with the Lord many, many years now. But he wrote this: "When he was born, all of the stars seemed to be lowered like golden lamps to the earth, and the heavens were resplendent with the presence of God. The spheres were singing in Bethlehem. Then when the child was born, the angels who had been practicing from the dawn of creation flung upward to God their glorious salutations, and down over the earth their marvelous benediction. The child of promise had been born. It is wonderful. A star guided the wise men from the east, and the poor humble shepherds felt welcomed to kneel down and worship before the babe in a manger. The whole story of the Lord Jesus is wonderful." What a wonderful name for a wonderful Savior. He possesses genuine humanity, yet with our sin. He experienced human wants and sufferings as you and I. That's why he can identify with you and me, and we can feel such a closeness to him. He knows all about us and all that we're going through. The gospel presents the reality of the God-man living in a sinful world, dying for it, and rising again in resurrected life. It's like this. Think about it. Signature stamps today have become high-tech. A signature can now be put on a document by a machine and still be an exact replica of the original. No one would know that the signature had been produced by a machine. In the old days, you would know someone stamped a signature because around that signature would be a hint of ink from the stamp. But now printed signatures look like just like the original. Listen, that's exactly what Jesus Christ is. He is the signature of God. Jesus Christ is the exact image of God. And the Bible says in Colossians 2:9, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." He is the express image of God the Father, revealed in God the Son. He is wonderful in his preexistence. He is wonderful in his birth, but is also wonderful in his life. Who is this Jesus Christ whose birth we celebrate on this day, December 25th? Is to be thought of only as the best man who ever lived on earth? Well, folks, he was. Are we to think of him only as a remarkable teacher who taught with authority and no one ever taught like him before? Well, he did. The scriptures teach us that Jesus Christ was uniquely different from all other people. He was wonderful in his life. Even Pontius Pilate had to say, "I find no fault at all in him." He was a perfect God-man come to earth. Do you know what our Lord's enemies said about him? They accused him of being a friend of sinners. I'm glad that he was, aren't you? He does good on the Sabbath day. He heals the blind, he restores withered hands, and he cleanses the leper. But that's not all. His enemies said that he claimed God as his Father. Even what his enemies said about him makes him wonderful. Think about it, all that he is. His preaching ministry was everywhere blessed. The common people heard him gladly. That is, they understood his language and rejoiced in his message. And no less did his healing and teaching ministries bring hope and heaven to their hearts. He was wonderful in his life. Listen, God's program is the summing up of all things in Christ Jesus the Lord. God's program is quite simple. God's agenda is bringing everything, everywhere, in every way under the tutelage, the authority, and the dominion of Jesus Christ. Listen to what Colossians 1, 16 through 18 has to say about him in the words of the Apostle Paul. Paul writing this, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence." Jesus is wonderful in his life. In him all things consist. In other words, everything holds together in Christ Jesus. If the Lord Jesus Christ were to take his hands off this world, it would devolve into a chaos that none would survive over a few seconds. He keeps everything in place. The stars, the planets, the sun, the moon, and this earth rotating the way it's supposed to. In him, all things consist. All things go on because God has a plan and a purpose. And he is in control of it all. His name is wonderful, and he is wonderful in his life. But he is also wonderful in his death. His death was wonderful not just because he died for our sins, but was also wonderful, a wonderful thing how God did it. You see, it was the purpose of God that our Lord be exposed before the whole world when he died. He could have died for us in secret, but that was not God's purpose. Thousands were to see him. He was to be crucified near the city gates where a great highway went by, and at a time when there were thousands of pilgrims gathered in the city of Jerusalem. He was raised up above the earth toward the sky where all might see him. It was the purpose of God that the whole world should know about his death. He was to die on a hill where the whole earth could see and marvel before it. If anyone should choose not to look, the Lord blocked out the sun and shook the earth that all people might know that he was dying. It was God's purpose that the Lord should be publicly exposed. That's why we cannot expose the Lord too much in our lives today. We cannot brag about Jesus too much. We cannot glorify him too much. We cannot lift him too high. We cannot preach him too fervently or too passionately. That's why I like what Charles Gabriel wrote. "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore them, bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me." He was wonderful in his death. He became our sin bearer on that cross. He took my sin. He took my penalty. He paid my debt. He was my substitute, dying for me. Folks, you and I should have been crucified. You and I should have suffered and died, but Jesus Christ, God's Son, took our place. You see, we owed a debt of sin. Sin pays a wage, an awful sin. It's called death, not just physical death, but spiritual death. But Jesus Christ took that debt upon himself so that we wouldn't have to bear it. All we have to do is believe. He did what he did on Calvary's cross. On that cross, he became our sin bearer, took our place, paid our debt. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe, because sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow on Calvary's cross. He was wonderful in his death. But oh, my friends, he was also wonderful in his resurrection. Our Lord had taught his disciples that he would be raised from the dead on the third day. But when the third day came, there was not one apostle who went to the tomb to see if he had been raised early on. They didn't believe. It was impossible to them that one should be raised from the dead. Had they forgotten what they had seen while he walked the earth? When he was raised from the dead, there was only a woman there who had come to prepare his body for final burial. Is it not absolutely remarkable how he appeared when he was raised from the dead? You would think that it would have gone to Pilate, who had condemned him, or to Herod, who mocked him, to the Sanhedrin, who tried him in a mockery of a trial, or to people who cried out for his blood. But he didn't do that. He appeared to a humble woman named Mary, who had come to anoint his body with spices for the final burial process. And then she was given some wonderful instructions. Go tell Peter and that other disciple and my disciples what has happened. Why did he say Peter? Peter had denied him three times. He wanted to know there was redemption, there was forgiveness, there was mercy with the Lord. And when she told Peter, Peter did run, and John ran to him when he got to the tomb to see what had happened. They were absolutely overwhelmed. How could it be? But the Lord Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. Listen, he appeared to that little band of disciples later on, and to James, his brother in the flesh, that he might win his family to the faith. You see, early on, his brothers didn't even believe in him. But following the resurrection, they too believed in Jesus. He appeared to Saul of Tarsus and rode to Damascus, the persecutor of the church. Saul was converted and became Paul the Apostle, the greatest preaching missionary of all time. You see, he arose the victor over the dark domain, and he reigns forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose, and we could say, hallelujah, Christ arose. Listen, the Lord Jesus is still revealing himself to those who look to him in faith. To those of us who believe, our Lord is marvelous. But to those who do not believe, he is nothing or less. How thankful I am that he chose to reveal himself to me as a 9-year-old boy, and I was able to respond in simple childlike faith and to know that now my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life because I received him as my personal Savior. Because he lives, the hymn writer said, the old gospel song, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and I know he holds my hand. He walks with us and talks with us every day of our lives when we commune with him. He's right there with us in the person of the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity. Because of life, because I received him, I can also say as did Job in Job 19, 25 and 27. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself and not another. And my eyes shall behold him. Hallelujah. We shall behold him. We're going to see him one day, face to face. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? He was wonderful in his resurrection. And Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die, he declared in John 11. What a wonderful promise to you and me. That's why he's wonderful. He's wonderful in his resurrection. But he is also wonderful in his present ministry. Think about it. He has a wonderful present ministry of intercession. You realize that Jesus Christ right at this very moment, at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for you and for me. He does that every day of our lives. There's a verse that is absolutely glorious. Hebrews 7:25 said this, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Think about it. He's always there. It's hard for us to imagine a God who never sleeps and never takes a journey, never takes a day off. He's always there. He's just there. And in a moment, in an instant, no matter what we face, all we have to do is to call upon him, and he is there. Think about it. He is our representative at the right hand of the Majesty on high to see to it that we make it to the gates of heaven someday. Will we fall by the wayside? Will Satan destroy us? Will we finally sin unto eternal death and perdition? Absolutely not. Once we are born again, once we are saved, we are eternally secure in the hands of a mighty God. Jesus gave us this promise in John 10. said, my Father has given you to me. No man can snatch him out of my Father's hand. They shall never, never perish. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is our representative, our mediator, our pleader, our counselor, our great lawyer and defender. His minister is one of intercession for us. That's why we can come boldly to the throne of grace and lay bare before the Lord the prayers of our soul. And to know this, that there are no barriers, no boundaries, no walls. We can come and tell him all about what we have in our hearts and all about what we are facing on a daily basis. And we can hear him speak peace and give guidance and strength and help and hope to us on a daily basis. This does not mean that he will give us everything we want. He always gives us what is best, however. God will always give the best to those who leave the choice to him. He hears us. He blesses us. He answers our prayers. He will talk to us as a friend to friend if we will open our hearts to him. We sing it a lot of times. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Isn't it wonderful to know that you have a God who has a listening ear? He's always in tune to our cries and to our wants and our needs and our hurts. And he listens to us. He is wonderful in his present ministry. You see, he has not left us comfortless. He has given to us that marvelous paraclete, the Holy Spirit, that goes alongside us. He not only indwells us, but he goes along beside us. He guides us day by day. And he intercedes in our behalf. And we don't even know how to pray and what to pray. The Holy Spirit knows the groanings and the hurts in our hearts. And he carries that prayer and prepares it for the ears of God the Father in our behalf. Isn't that wonderful to know? You sometimes preach, I don't know what to say, don't know how to pray. It's like Ralph Trowbridge said in that song. But listen, we know that the Holy Spirit is there to take that prayer to God the Father, and he'll see us through and help us out no matter what we face. He is wonderful in his present ministry. But he is also wonderful in his promised return. We celebrate the coming into the world, and rightly so, of the Lord Jesus Christ at Christmas time. But folks, we dare not leave him a babe in a manger. Yes, that was the beginning. But oh, that same Jesus is going to come again. And all the years I have studied and preached this blessed book that promises that he will return, it is still wonderful to me to grasp the truth that one day the heavens will be rolled back like a scroll and the Lord himself shall descend on the Shekinah clouds of glory. Paul, writing in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, tells us that's coming a day when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. God's going to take us home one day, either through death or through the rapture of the church. Either way, we just need to be ready every day. He's coming again. Jesus is coming again. And what is so wonderful is that it could happen any moment. I don't know of any prophecy that needs to be fulfilled for the Lord to call his church out, you and me. It could happen before we leave this service today. God, the trumpet could sound and we could be caught up to heaven to meet the Lord in there with all of our friends and loved ones who's gone on before. What a day. Folks, what a day that will be. When our Jesus we'll see, and we'll see him face to face. It's just too wonderful to even consider almost. But our eyes shall see him, the King, in all of his glory. We shall be raised if we die before he comes, and we shall be translated and glorified if we're alive at that day. Whether resurrected or raptured, we shall see him when he comes in glory. Think about it. Face to face, one day, face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what shall it be? When with rapture we behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for you and for me. And think about it. Jesus made the promise in John 14. He told his disciples he was going away. And they were all upset and troubled. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. If we're not so, what I've told you, that I'm going away. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive it to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, Thomas, you've been so with me so long, you still do not understand. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. That's one way to heaven. And his name is Jesus. What a wonderful name. And folks, I'm convinced soon, and very soon, we're going to see Jesus face to face. He's coming back soon. But we need to understand something else. Not only is he wonderful in his promised return, he's a wonderful Savior right now, at this very moment. His name shall be called Wonderful. What a blessed Savior. Not that someday he is our Lord, or someday he is our Savior, or someday he is our God. He is not just a God of tomorrow, not just a God of heaven, not just a God of a day that is in yet to come, but he is the God of the here and now, the God of home and family, the God of our hearts and souls. He is the God who can see us through right now. He can forgive every sin and cleanse us from all uncleanness. He stands ready to give us the wonderful gift of eternal life. He can provide any person with guidance and help as they face the future that is increasingly chaotic, and even in the midst of unprecedented prosperity and uncertainty about the prosperity that we've enjoyed for so long, even among that uncertainty, he's still there to see us through. This wonderful Savior, who is completely God and perfectly man, wants to bring the very life of God into every person's life if they will just let him. He's a wonderful Savior. The question is, have you trusted him and yielded your heart to him today? His name is Wonderful. What a Savior is our Lord Jesus Christ. Thomas A. Kempis said it so well in challenging people to hear him and follow him. Follow me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. That's so true. He is our all. He is our everything. He wants to be our Savior, a very present help, no matter where we are. He is wonderful to those who are saved. Do you know him? Do you know my wonderful Jesus? His name shall be wonderful, called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You may be living in a troubled situation right now, a troubled heart, troubled mind, troubled in your spirit. Jesus has come to me, all you who are laboring and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you'll find rest unto your souls. There's ever a time when we needed peace that passes all understanding. Folks, it's in the days which we're living in. There's only one who can give it adequately, and his name is Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Respond to him today if you have not done so already. Invite him into your heart. He is a wonderful Savior right now. If you have not done that, would you come as we stand and sing in the old standby, Just As I Am, 435. That's why he calls every one of us. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Have you come to him? If you haven't, come to him today. Stand and sing. Come as we sing.